Shri Guru Shri Atapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's written here, bhakti is ancient wisdom.
Bhakti is
an immediate practical program. And the vision of the future. And under that is written Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it's all in under the banner of ISKCON. ISKCON is it means the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
ISKCON is the
And people generally think of us as Hare Krishna people. All over the world, people think of ISKCON devotees as Hare Krishna people. Because we promote Harinama Sankirtana, chanting of the holy names. And you will find Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, being chanted all over the world. So generally people think that this is some sentimental religious process. But actually it is based on the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Which is described here as ancient wisdom. Now, generally people in the modern age think that everything old is useless. The only thing that's good that's old is gold. But we need all new ideas. The old ideas, they're all out of date. You've got better ideas. For instance, in the old times when people were stupid, they didn't know anything. They used to think that God created the world. But now we're very scientific and we know scientifically that there was, in the beginning there was nothing and then from nothing came a big explosion. And then all the explosion, everything settled down. And there was a big soup bubbling. And out of that came some lizards, and they turned into monkeys, and one of them turned into Charles Darwin. This is called science. There's no proof of it, but if you don't believe in it, you're not scientific. It's a modern belief system. And in the modern age, we believe it's very good to promote that, you know, men and women getting married is old-fashioned. So men should marry men, and women should marry women. This is now being promoted all over the world. But this is according to the ancient wisdom of Bhagavad Gita, or according to the common sense of anyone, if they have any left today, this is demoniac. So the whole idea that we know better, we've got better ideas, it's extremely proud and egoistic. You don't have to be a scientist to understand that we are very tiny little beings. On one tiny speck in a massive universe. We live for a very short time. And our intelligence is very limited. If I ask you, what were you doing at this time 3 days ago? Can you remember? Can you recall? And we are, although we are proud of our invention, so many machines, we think that we're doing so many great things, but we can't control our destiny. We have so many plans about what we're going to do. But at any moment, our plans can be finished. That we may be kicked out of this body. We may die at any moment. So we are tiny, of very limited intelligence, and we are not in control of our situation. Therefore, real intelligence means to become humble. Humble enough to accept that there is higher knowledge, there is higher power, there is God. So, God, He speaks Bhagavad Gita. And although it is ancient wisdom, it is as relevant today as when it was spoken by Krishna, Bhagavan, 5,000 years ago. Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita the difference between the soul and the body. That the body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. That we go from body to body to body to body. Trying to be happy, but actually suffering in every lifetime. And Therefore, an intelligent person should try to find a solution to this problem of repeated birth and death.
அதனால புத்திசாலித்தனமாக இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு நபர் வந்து இந்த பிறப்பு இறப்பு அப்படின்ற சூழலிருந்து விடுபடுவதற்கான நிவாரணம் என்னென்னு கண்டுபிடிக்கிறது முயற்சிக்கணும்.
So this is not, this is ancient wisdom.
இது வந்து பழமை வாய்ந்த ஒரு ஞானம்.
But it's not out of date.
ஆனா இது வந்து நடைமுறைக்கு உட்படாதது கிடையாது.
It didn't go out of date that people are suffering and dying.
இந்த காலத்துல கூட மக்கள் கஷ்டப்பட்டு பிறந்து இறந்துதான்.
And despite propaganda that scientists will discover something that will make us live forever, this knowledge will never go out of date.
விஞ்ஞானிகள் பிரகடனப்படுத்திருக்காங்க, நம்ம வந்து நிச்சயமா எப்படி வாழ்றதுக்கு ஏதாவது வழி இருக்கலாம் தேடிட்டு இருக்காங்க. ஆனா அந்த அந்த ஞானத்தை வந்து சொல்லப்படுறாங்க.
So the term ancient wisdom gives the idea that it's coming from a long time in the past.
மிக
பழமையான knowledge has been extant in human society.
ரொம்ப பழங்காலத்துல ஒருத்தர் வந்து ஒரு விஷயத்தை சொல்லியிருக்காரு அப்படின்னா அதே ஞானம் இனிக்கும் அதே மாதிரி இருக்கும் அப்படின்றது வந்து நம்ம எதிர்பார்க்க முடியாது.
Just like for instance, no one knew that E equals MC squared.
யாருக்குமே தெரியாது E equals MC squared அப்படின்றது
until Einstein made this contribution to the body of human knowledge. So you might think, well, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and since then, that knowledge has been there. But what is knowledge does not depend on someone speaking it. Krishna spoke the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But if it's actually knowledge, it means that it's actually true. It's not just Krishna's opinion. So it means it was true even before Krishna spoke
Bhagavad Gita.
So we think Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. That was a long time ago. Therefore it's ancient wisdom. But Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita that 5,000 years ago, he said, I'm going to speak this knowledge which was spoken a long time ago, even at that time it was ancient. Krishna states that Imam vivasmate yogam proktavanaham abhyayam vivasvananave praha manurikshvakave navid, that I spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan, the sun god, who spoke it to Ikshvaku, who spoke it to Manu. So, by calculation, that was some millions of years ago. So what Krishna spoke is ancient, more ancient than people in the modern world would like to believe. But what is knowledge is true always. Just like if we say 2 + 2 = 4, that is true in all times, places and circumstances. So the fact of the existence of the Atma, which is different from the body, That is true in all times, places, and circumstances. Sometimes people say, well, this is Hindu philosophy. Or they say that Bhagavad Gita is the Bible of Hinduism. But Krishna didn't say to Arjuna that, now Arjuna, I'm going to teach you Hindu philosophy. Duryodhana, by modern estimation, Duryodhana, he was also a Hindu. So was Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they were all Hindus. But actually the word Hindu wasn't there. Krishna told Arjuna that Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshami asheshataha. Now I'm going to speak to you Jnanam and Vijnanam, knowledge and specialized knowledge. He didn't say, I'm going to speak to you Hindu philosophy. So this is knowledge. It's not something that you just have to believe in, but it's actual knowledge. The first thing that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is the difference between the soul and the body. That the soul is that which gives life to the body. And when one body dies, the Atma leaves and goes to another body. So Krishna doesn't say to Arjuna, you have to be a good Hindu and believe this. Krishna explains how this is a fact. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumarang yovanang chara tatha dehantara praptihi. We see a young boy gradually becomes a man, then becomes old, and then the body dies. The body goes through different phases. From baby to small child to fully grown, to youth to fully grown man to old man to dead man. These are the phases of the body. So it's a very simple thing to understand, Krishna points out. That the body is always changing. Actually, the body is changing at every moment. At the microscopic level, the body is changing at every moment. We don't notice it. But if, just like there's little boys running around here, because that's what little boys do. So if I see the same little boy after 5 years, there'll be a pronounced difference in his body. Be much taller and stronger. The parents don't notice it, but if someone comes after some time, you'll notice, oh, he's grown so big. So the body is changing all the time. So, actually, according to modern science, they say that after every 7 years, you have a completely new body because all the chemicals have changed. So, if we say, if we think that I am the body, I am these chemicals, then 7 years ago, I was a different person. But the mother of the young boy, when the young boy becomes 7 years old, she doesn't say, well, you're not my child anymore. Chemical combination that came out of my womb, that's no longer, there's not a single chemical left. So you're not my child anymore. The mother will never say that. So the body changes, but the person stays the same. Even if the child goes away, goes to study in America, comes back after 5 years, immediately the mother knows, oh, it's my son. And the son doesn't say, well, I'm only 2/7 your son, because 5 years have gone by. I'm only 2/7 your son. Since you last saw me, 5/7 have changed because 5 years have gone. You follow that? Someone explain. Say in Tamil to him. You can't hear? It's all so much echo. After 5 years, if the boy goes away and he comes back and he says to his mother, that I'm only 2/7 your son. 2/7. Do you follow it or no? So the body is changing, but the person remains the same. So I may say, all right, I'm not the body, but I must be the mind. But the mind is also changing. So who is the person? Krishna explains that the person remains constant while the body is changing and the mind is changing. Therefore, we understand that the person is different to the body and the mind. So when the body dies, it doesn't mean the person has died, because the person is different to the body. So, Krishna gives another example. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnani naroparani tatha shirirani vihaya jirnani anyani sangyani navani dehi. Just like when clothes get old, we replace them. So in the same way, the body is the covering for the soul. And because the body is material, just like clothes are material, they get worn out after some time. So they require to be changed. So we are not the body. We are going from body to body to body. And we suffer. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. So this is not Hindu philosophy. This is something which anyone can understand. It's not that only because I'm a Hindu I believe in this. Someone may say. But Christians, they also grow old and die. Atheists also grow old and die. The same process is going on for everyone. That the body is changing, but the person remains the same. Therefore, we understand that the person is different from the body. So this is spiritual science. Science means that you make observations and you draw intelligent conclusions from that. Just like scientists, they observe matter and they think about it and they come to some conclusion. So in spiritual science, we can also observe matter and understand that the soul, the person, is different from the matter which constitutes the body. So when we say ancient wisdom, this is actually eternal wisdom. Now simply, of course, to understand that we are not the body, that is to be understood, but that is only the beginning. We have to consider our present situation is one in which we are trying to be happy. Is it not? Everyone's trying to be happy. In fact, not only humans, but every living being is trying to be happy. The chickens that people like to eat so much, they don't come and say, please cut my throat so you can be happy. They try to run away when you try to cut their throat, because they also want to be happy. The little bug is trying to be happy by sucking your blood. Even if you keep a plant within your house, the plant will try to grow toward the light. Because every living being wants to be happy. But in this material world, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the situation is dukhalaya mashashvata. This material world is a place of misery. And everything here is temporary. So again, this is not just some sectarian belief. But this is observable reality. Everyone wants to be happy, but we have to die. We don't want to die. But Krishna, you may say, well, this is all very pessimistic. But the good news is that there's a solution to all of this. We want to be happy because that is our original nature, to be happy. But in the material world, we are trying in the wrong way to be happy. And therefore we suffer. Just like if someone tells you, if you hit yourself on the head with a hammer, you will be happy. Amazing. Well, that doesn't sound right. But then you say, well, see, all the big professors, they all said so. And even Sachin Tendulkar also said so. So you may say, oh, really? Okay, let me get a hammer and hit myself on the head. Oh, it doesn't make you very happy, actually. But then people say, well, you know, really, it does make you happy. Maybe you just have to hit a different part of the head. Or actually, the real problem is that you're using an iron hammer. You have to work very hard, make a lot of money, and then get a gold hammer, and then you hit yourself on the head. Then you'll be happy. Maybe the gold merchants will be happy to hear this. They're making advertisements for gold hammers. But, absurd as it sounds, this is analogous to our situation in the material world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and again, it's not a sectarian belief, it's something we can all see, that the idea that we will be happy by enjoying our senses is incorrect. To enjoy our senses actually causes our self-distress. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take part in it. So a really intelligent person does not try to enjoy, they don't take pleasure in the senses. You may say, well, everyone is trying to enjoy themselves. So it's like that, you see, the actual fact is that if we try to enjoy our senses, we suffer more. Just like, for instance, in the modern age, sexual pleasure is very much promoted. Previously in India, people didn't like to discuss this openly, but now it is discussed openly. And they, TV, movies, magazines, everything is just sex, 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 that's all. But the actual fact is that if we become excessively addicted to sexual enjoyment, we suffer so much. Of course, within married life, in a civilized way, to have for a man and wife to come together, that is dharma. But even within married life, if the center of family life is not dharma, but it's just enjoyment, then neither husband or wife will be satisfied. And then if one becomes more and more desirous, so then they have adultery, and then it causes so much headache. And then there may be all kinds of AIDS and different diseases. By messing around with someone else's wife, someone may come and kill you or beat you up and all these kinds of things. So the search for indriya tripti, satisfaction of the senses, that will never bring atma tripti, satisfaction of the soul. So intelligent people understand this. And therefore previously in Indian culture, the understanding was that we have to search for Atma Sukh, Atma Tripti. And only very low class and foolish people, they dedicate themselves to this excessive Indriya Tripti. Nowadays we have through the TV, through the cinema, everything, just promoting. Try to enjoy your senses, try to enjoy your senses, try to enjoy your senses. But the actual result is suffering. As we see in modern society. In modern life, everyone has a cell phone. Very advanced technology. You can talk to anyone, anytime, any place, if they take your call. And everyone has a TV. I mean, that's, you don't even have to say it, it's just everyone has a TV. Everyone has a fridge, electric fans, which, of course, there's not current a lot of the time, but there is all these electrical facilities. So we have all these different machines that are meant to make our life better. But even if you have every modern machine possible, that's not going to give you happiness. And in fact, in modern society, we see that people are becoming more and more dissatisfied. But still they're promoting. Buy this, get something new, new machine, latest iPod, smartphone, or whatever.
Okay.
So everyone's saying you will be happy. There's all this propaganda and we believe it. But it's all a big hoax. So everyone's saying, hit yourself on the head with a hammer. Think, well, everyone's saying it, it must be true. But it's not true. By even if you had sex all day and night, it wouldn't make you happy. Happiness and sensual pleasure are two different things. So this is as appropriate today as when Krishna spoke it 5,000 years ago and even millions of years ago. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for giving this vital knowledge to human society. We are singing Hare Krishna, but it's not just some kind of song just to pass time. It is based on the understanding of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That human life is meant for self-realization. We have attained this human birth after many, many births. Now we should take the opportunity to develop our consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Get free from birth and death and come to the position of where we can be actually happy eternally. And this is an immediate practical program. Any person in any situation, in any place, can immediately take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the actual consciousness of every Atma. Krishna consciousness means to love Krishna. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. We all have our natural loving relationship with Krishna. But forgetting that, we are trying to enjoy the senses. And we think, I love my family, I love my country, but actually our love is meant for Krishna. Because our actual position is in relationship to Krishna, and we can revive our Krishna consciousness immediately. And chanting Hare Krishna is meant for that. Chanting Hare Krishna revives our natural consciousness that I am part and parcel of Krishna, I am meant for serving Krishna. Now that doesn't mean that you stop loving your family. But rather, we understand how to love our family in the best possible way. As long as our love is based on simply a bodily understanding, we cannot actually love anyone. But when we understand that this person or these people who I'm living with and I'm closely attached to, they are like me, Atma, they are all connected with Krishna, then because we love Krishna, we can actually love not only our family members, but every living being. Kutumba, kutumba, that word came. So, vasudhaiva kutumbakam, this is a well-known saying. That we, instead of thinking, I love the 3-4 people in my family, we see the whole world as our family. Because we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Father of everyone. So this is the vision of the future that Krishna gives to us in Bhagavad Gita. There are two possibilities for our future. One of them is going on the same way that we've been going on for millions of lifetimes. That is punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayana. Again and again getting born, again and again dying. And the other possibility for our future is tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana, going to Krishna in the spiritual world. Where we can live eternally and happily with Krishna. With no more birth, death, old age and disease. So that is possible by understanding Krishna. Janma karma chame devyam evangyo veti tatmataha tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mam eti sojana. If we simply understand that Krishna is not an ordinary person like us. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comes to this world, but we shouldn't think that he's one of us. We are born in different bodies according to our previous activities. But Krishna comes out of his mercy to give us the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and save us from repeated birth and death. So Krishna's appearance in this world and what his activities in this world, they are completely free from the influence of Maya. So if we can understand this, then we can go to Krishna in the spiritual world. So we have to choose what is best for our future. Actually, the only thing that is best for our future is to go to Krishna. If we don't go to Krishna, then we go to another birth. But most people don't even know that we have the opportunity to go to Krishna. Most people think that we just enjoy ourselves as much as we can and then we die. So it is required to propagate this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So that people can take advantage of this knowledge and get free from birth and death. So this is ancient wisdom. This is timeless wisdom. Even though it's coming from time immemorial, it will be just as true in millions of years from now. It is an immediately practical program. Whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever your situation is, you can start to practice Krishna consciousness. At your home, or if you're living in a hostel, you can start to chant Hare Krishna every day as a practice in your life. And understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And the result of that is that you will immediately feel how your life is so much improved. And your future, for your future, instead of getting born again and again, sometimes as a human, sometimes as a cat or a dog, sometimes as Indra in heaven, sometimes as a worm in the intestines of a pig, one can get free from this cycle of birth and death. And go to Krishna in the spiritual world. We can live with Krishna eternally, very happily. So these are the teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. These are the teachings of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are simply teaching what Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. And we invite everyone to take part in this for your eternal benefit. Thank you, Hare Krishna. If there's any question, do we have the extra microphone? If you have a question, please raise your hand. Okay. So if you have a question, please raise your hand. And if you're within, so bring the mic there, or do you have to come here? Is it?
For the benefit of those who don't understand English. எனக்கு வந்து ஸ்டூடெண்ட்ஸ் இருக்காங்க, அவங்களுக்கு நல்ல பழக்கவழக்கத்தில் சொல்லி தந்துட்டுருக்கேன். வீணாக முடிந்தது பல பேர் கேட்கறதில்ல. எனக்கு தேவை வந்து ஒரு ஒரு டூர், அந்த டூர் வந்து என்ன சொன்னால் செல்ஃப் ரியலைசேஷன் டூராக இருக்கலாம், அவங்களே அதை புரிஞ்சுக்கிற மாதிரியான டூராக இருக்கலாம்னு நினைக்கிறேன். ஸோ அந்த டூர் எப்படி கிடைக்கும், அந்த விதமான அந்த திறன் எப்படி நான் உங்களுக்கு சொல்லி தருங்கிறது
தேவை. ஸோ a teacher wants a self realization process for himself and his students.
So the ஆசிரியர் வந்து தன்னை அறிய வழிமுறைகளை தெரிஞ்சுக்கணும், அவருக்கும் மற்றும் அவருடைய மாணவர்களுக்கும்.
Srinivas, Srinivas Krishna, where is he? Where is he? Yeah, come. Come up. For your answer, you can answer, what's the name of that Muslim woman?
Muslim.
Yeah, you showed me today.
Dr. Wahida Bhavan.
Yeah, tell me. You take over the mic. For the answer, you have to ask and tell the name. So she's very happy with that presentation. So afterwards, our teacher friend can contact Srinivas Krishna Prabhu and he can arrange for these seminars in your teaching facility also. Oh, I see. But in the same college as this gentleman? Oh, I see. But we can go to his school also. Okay, speak about that then.
யார் பதிவு யார் வரணும்னு 9 மணிக்கு இருக்கிறோம்.
We're very happy that the Muslim principal of the college is appreciating this non-sectarian self-realization process, and we trust that you will also appreciate it. Then some more questions? Please say in Tamil. The soul, the very symptom of the soul is consciousness. That consciousness at the present time is diverted through this body. It's experienced through this body. So we identify with this body and we forget that we are Atma. So we're not really serving Paramatma, we're just trying to serve our senses. So the soul is active. Without the soul being present, there can be no activity for the body. But because the activity is in ignorance, and because it's directed in the wrong way, it's not spiritual activity. So in one sense we can say that the soul is inactive because our real consciousness is covered. It's like being asleep. But if we take to the process of bhakti, if we chant Hare Krishna, then our spiritual consciousness becomes revived. Then through this body, we can serve Krishna. The six what?
Sex consciousness.
Yeah, calm or sexual desire is a perverse reflection of prema, which is love for Krishna. Atmendriya tripti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhari premana. The desire to satisfy our own personal senses, that is called kama. And the desire to satisfy Krishna, that is called prema. So if we develop or revive our natural love for Krishna, then we will forget all these lower things. By getting that which is better, we will forget that which is lower. There's also one book here called Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness, which you might like to read. You can get it there. Before I came to this Krishna Conscious Movement. So many people say so many different things. How can we know what is the fact? Instead of looking for which religion is better, we should try to understand what is the truth. That's why I was stressing that Bhagavad Gita is not a Hindu belief. But it's a scientific presentation which we can understand through the intelligence given to us by God, what is factual and what is illusory. Just like we can, if it's pointed out to us, we can understand that the endeavor to enjoy ourselves in this world, it's just illusory. If no one points it out to us, we may not understand it at all. So we should try to find out what is the truth, what is the fact. Just like we were talking about how the body goes, the soul goes from one body to another to another. Now someone may say, I believe in it. Someone else may say, I don't believe in it. But whether we believe in it or not believe in it, it's whether it's true or not does not depend upon our belief. That's why we don't say, you just believe what we say. Many people, they preach religion and they say, you just have to believe this. But how can we know whether it's right or not? Therefore, I accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as being better than all these religions which just say you believe. Because instead of just saying believe, Krishna teaches us to understand what is the actual fact.
Krishna
course, to understand all these points may take some time. May take a very long time. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavangam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. Anyway, you just give the translation. So it may take many births to understand these points. But if we take the in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given this essential knowledge, which otherwise, if we don't take to Bhagavad Gita, it may take us many, many lifetimes to understand it. So we're offering this introductory course in Bhagavad Gita study. So that you can come and understand the points one by one. We do not simply claim Krishna is God, but we can explain why we should accept Krishna as God. There are various reasons for that. All the great rishis and devatas, they all accept Krishna as supreme. Of course, in Tamil Nadu, there are the, what are they called? Yalma? The Shiva? Nayanma, Nayanmas. But that's. Yeah, so they say Shiva is supreme. So I don't want to offend your Tamil sentiment. But actually, we understand from Bhagavad Gita, you're not Tamil. You're just in a body at the present time in Tamil Nadu. But you are, Atma is not Tamil. So many people in Tamil Nadu believe that Shiva is the supreme. Many people in Gujarat, they believe, you maybe never heard, but they say Swami Narayan is supreme. Many people think that Sai Baba is supreme. But who is actually supreme? Yam Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Marutastun, Vanti, Divyaistavai. If we see all the Shastras, all the Devatas, they all point to Krishna. And we see by Krishna's activities, what he performed in this world, that he is supreme. So I won't go into more detail here. You please come to the course and you understand all these points. But there's another important point also. Raja Vidya Raja Gohyam Pavitra Midam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavya. You give the translation. So we can actually experience this ourselves. So that question came, how can we overcome sexual attraction? It is a very powerful attraction. The whole world is running on that. But it pulls us down. How can we overcome that? When we get a better experience. So that is Krishna consciousness. But you have to take up the sadhana, then you can experience. So anyway, please come to this course. And gradually all these points will be explained. So, any more questions? Please speak in the microphone. Please speak into the microphone.
Okay, sir. Please don't mistake this in my class. You said our human body and the soul is both different.
What's that?
Human body and soul are different.
Yeah. Any body. Human body, cat body, dog body.
Okay, sir. Body is immortal and the soul is immortal. Then, our main goal is to reach God Krishna. Father, we learn and we see chanting mantras through this human body only, not through this soul. How can I differentiate the soul and the human body? If our soul grows in me, our happiness is also done for us. How can I differentiate?
What's that? What's the last point? Yeah. Okay, can you say it in Tamil? Same question. We're using the body.
Body is only taking like
this. Using the body, but we are not the body. The body is temporary. But you are eternal. If you accept there is God, that means that there is spiritual existence beyond the body. So the body is a vehicle through which, at the present time, our soul is acting and functioning. But we are not the body. That's the first thing we have to understand.